Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 32 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson.
And I'm Mark Vila, and today we're talking about choosing the right equipment, first steps to starting your business.
And this is kind of the podcast is 32 now.
Yeah.
And this is one of those adult decisions that you have to start making when you're 32, right? We're 3 years from our podcast being able to run for president.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. So this decision that we're going to make here on what kind of equipment to get is an important one in starting your business.
Yeah, it's something that you've got this idea first. So right. Whether it's, we talked about before, you have a hobby that you're trying to expand into a business.
Right.
Or you just like the idea of making custom apparel. You think making t-shirts is cool or making caps is cool.
Yeah, or maybe you were inspired by an event that you went to. Mark Vila is sitting here drinking from kind of a ridiculous dog mug.
It is a ridiculous
dog. There are many dogs and sweaters, which I just noticed here. So maybe Mark Vila is a closet dog sweater lover and wants to get into the dog sweater business.
Well, it could be that, or it could be that I got this free at a trade show.
Yeah,
then it became my work.
But that's not the story that I'm going to go with. So that's definitely not it.
I'm not going to tell which one it is, but if I was going to make dog sweaters, then I would have to decide what type of embroidery machine I would use to decorate them.
Right, and let's preface this real quick. I mean, this is not one of those very well-organized podcasts where we have a direction and bullet points and things that we specifically want to cover.
Are you talking about all of the Custom Apparel Startups podcasts?
Yes, actually I am.
Okay.
No, just this episode.
I wasn't sure if it was a complete definition.
Really, what we wanted to do is kind of talk about the process that people go through when picking the right equipment to match both their personality and their goals and their dreams and their business plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mark Stevenson and I kind of started together in this when we were beginning the conversation on this podcast. We said, let's just make it conversational as if we were talking to somebody or a customer or in our own heads about how we would do this.
Yeah, because so the first thing that we thought of naturally is if you went to business startup school,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you would do is at first you would pick a niche market or a spot in the marketplace that you've noticed that does not have a particular product selling in it that you think you could make money at. You would write a business plan to fill that market niche that you've developed, and then you would buy equipment and you know, start your business with that niche and that plan in mind. Now, first of all, we know that exactly 0% of you have a business plan. Okay, so what normally happens is you start with, just like Mark said, you start with, I'm a home embroiderer, I really like this, I want to see if I can do it for a living, so I'm going to go into the embroidery business.
Yeah, or I just like t-shirts. I think they're cool. I would like to be able to make them. I've got a bunch of awesome, fun ideas.
Yeah.
Plus, maybe I know some people that would buy t-shirts from me. I'm really involved in sports or in, you know, a local chapter of a gun club or a horse club
yeah.
or a golf club. And you start knowing golf club. It's kind of funny.
That, no.
Yeah, that's pun, right?
Okay. Or maybe you're like if you we've got some success and some in business stories on coldessie.com, and one of them is for My Rhinestone Transfers, friend mm-hmm. of the company, and they're probably one of the biggest bling t-shirt transfer companies in America, and the way they got started is they saw a niche that wasn't they lived in Texas and they. And they went to buy some bling t-shirts in a particular niche market that they were a part of. And the t-shirts were terrible.
Oh.
So then they figured that, okay, they could do this better. So they bought some rhinestone transfers from somebody else. And that worked for a little while. But they really weren't great quality, so they bought the equipment. So that's how they kind of led into being this huge bling transfer business. Okay, so maybe that's how you're going to get there as well.
Yeah, and these stories, because I sold equipment for some years, and the stories like that, and the stories for those who are listening to this right now, they're often repeated stories.
Yeah.
So it's either someone who has a great idea or a concept, and they want to make that into their own business, to somebody who just noticed or was fed up.
Yeah.
And the fed up one is very common. Either it's fed up with, well, it's way, way too expensive. Like, these caps are $35 in my town, and there's no way a cap should be $35 for the poor quality that it is.
Yeah.
And it's because there's no competition.
Yeah, or it takes too long to get. You know, like you end up ordering a bunch of shirts for a bridal party, and they show up after the wedding. You know, or they showed up the day before the wedding, so you don't get the chance to enjoy those.
So now we've got an idea for one way or another. We're filling a need, or we just have this really cool thing, or we're passionate about it. And I guess we have to figure out what the next step is. Like, how do you decide on what to get?
Yeah, and I think a lot of that depends on the market that you find yourself in. So let's use some examples of customers, mm-hmm. and the kinds of customers that we get. So let's say that you do embroidery at home, and you've got a home embroidery machine, and you make pillowcases, and you embroider on baby clothes, and you do all this stuff, and everybody loves what you do, and you give them away for gifts. So you realize that there's a market for this, and you want to get into that business. Well, first of all, your choices are limited. More limited than in other businesses, because you're going to need an embroidery machine. You know, you can't use a copier or a t-shirt transfer system to produce embroidery designs. So you got an embroidery machine. Now it's, what kind of machine should I get?
And before we go too deep into that, we'll mention that in this episode, we will talk about t-shirt printing.
Yes.
And we'll talk about embroidery.
And bling.
And we'll talk about bling.
Yeah.
And I think those are the three that we're going to cover.
Vinyl, I mean, there's all kinds of
stuff. Yeah, and in the vinyl side, I'm grouping that with the t-shirt stuff.
So, fair enough.
But we'll talk about t-shirts, and we're going to talk about embroidery, and we're going to talk about bling, and some of those are going to intertwine.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about embroidery for 5 minutes or so...
You can fast forward if you hate embroidery for some reason.
But we're going to get to all of them, but I think we should start with one.
Yes.
Because we must.
Yes.
And that one will be embroidery, so...
So back to our story.
Back to our story is... Well, now we want to start an embroidery business. And there's a lot of places we can go in regards to the size of equipment that we can get.
Yeah, right? And you know, it's funny because it doesn't necessarily... So the money isn't necessarily attached to the size and the quality of the machine and the features.
Yes.
It's very strange. So, for example, on the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group, which I hope you're all members of, we get a lot of home embroiderers, mm-hmm. you know, that are thinking about this. But what they're thinking about is they go to their local sewing shop, and what they see displayed there are more and more expensive home embroidery machines.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can spend, and maybe you have already, $6,000, $10,000, $12,000 for a very cool Star Trek-style embroidery machine that is still not good for most commercial embroidery businesses.
Yes, it is a, you know, one might define it as like prosumer type of products. They're not a truly commercial product. They're very cool. They're awesome. They have all these cool features. But as far as doing production, is that right for you?
Right. If it looks like there's an iPad welded to the side of an embroidery machine, it's probably not commercial.
Yeah, it's
That's a good, you know.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. So I would define embroidery machines maybe in three categories is usually what I do. There is something that you can get at like Walmart or a craft store that's very
Joann's
little
fabrics or whatever.
Yeah, that's very little, very starter. It's
$300.
$300, it's slow, it is
single needle.
Yeah, it is literally just for fun.
Yeah.
Then there's the prosumer ones I would describe, and those usually have they're either one color or maybe six colors.
Yeah. I think that would say you'd be a serious craftsperson.
serious craft person, somebody who really, really loves it, and they're willing to invest a good amount of money
in their hobby.
Yeah, in this hobby, in this toy, in this thing that is just so cool. So, and they can be really cool for that. They are cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the next level above that is the commercial. And then maybe I would even dive that into two. Commercial single head.
Yeah.
And then commercial multi head.
Right.
And as you get larger and bigger, sometimes it feels like you maybe lose features.
You do. Like, think about it like a car. I was thinking about this while you were talking, because I wasn't listening to you.
Yeah, I know.
I was thinking about what I was going to say next. think about it like when you go to a car. If you're a consumer and you like cars, you know, maybe you want to spend a certain amount on a car, you can get something nice with GPS and Bluetooth and power seats. And then if you are really a car enthusiast, you know, maybe you get a Tesla or a nice BMW, and now it's got satellite radio, and it's got heated seats, and, you know, dual air conditioning and all that stuff.
Self-driving now.
Self-driving. But then you want to start a business where you drive people around all day in your car, or, you know, maybe you're carrying something bigger, and all of a sudden, all those features go away.
Yeah.
Right? So what the car is the same amount of money. But what you get is a better engine, a more reliable transmission, maybe more space on the inside, you know, more cargo area. What you get is something that has fewer features, maybe, but the features that it does have are geared towards doing business every day, not looking good and driving to your friend's house.
Yeah, it's like a minivan versus a commercial cargo van.
Right. Hold the same amount of stuff.
Yeah. But the cargo van is designed to move things and be working all day. It's designed to work.
Right.
Compared to designed to be fun and comfortable.
Yeah, and that's a big difference that you can think of right off the bat. So let's pick a brand like Janome.
Mm-hmm.
They make some great home embroidery machines. Some single, they've got the iPad version, you know, it'll do all kinds of stuff. Onboard fonts, just a huge amount of features, single needle. And it's designed for you to work on, you know, a couple of hours,
mm-hmm.
a few days a week. It's not designed for you to work 8 hours, 5 or 6 or 7 days a week.
Or 24 hours.
Or 24 hours.
Honestly.
Yeah, when you stop embroidering and then somebody sits down in your chair and keeps going.
Yeah.
You know, they're not built for that.
Because the commercial machine are designed, when they make these things, when you buy a true commercial machine, somewhere in the world, there's a factory running with the machine that you just bought.
Yes.
That almost never stops running.
Right.
It stops running for the time it takes to take a shirt off and put another one back on. So that's the difference is if you ran one of these really nice, fun machines like that, the motors inside and such are not designed to handle that. They're designed for fun, not for working all day.
So let's take a look at like what are the features that you might look for on a commercial machine that wouldn't necessarily be on a consumer machine, so you can pick which one you're looking for.
Okay.
The first thing I think of is the number of needles,
mm-hmm.
and that's a single needle is obviously consumer, and then there's a monogram machine that might have 4 or 6 needles, which normally aren't designed for running all day either.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's kind of the 15 and 16 needle machines, which is where you get into commercial.
Okay.
The other features that you might look for are the field size for the embroidery. So consumer machines in general are designed to do smaller spaces. Like you're not gonna sew a 2-foot design on a tablecloth or a horse blanket or an entire jacket back easily with the consumer machine.
Yeah, they're not designed for that. They're also not designed to hold large
items. They won't hold the weight.
Yeah, the weight of large items. So that is a big portion of it. And there's also not, when you get a commercial machine, you can really start dissecting and getting into the accessories that you can add onto it, like the hoops.
Yeah, a consumer machine might come with 1 hoop or 2 hoops or no hoops. And you have to buy it. A commercial machine has what? They've always got 2 of every hoop that come with the machine. And the reason that it's got 2 is because while one's sewing, you're going to be hooping the next item.
Yeah.
So that machine never stops running.
And you can get additional hoops that are designed for commercial grade use.
Yeah.
Whether they're really thick and heavy of made of wood, or they've got magnets in them,
yeah.
or they hold different types of backing, or there's clamping systems. You know, there's all, I think we have a new hooping thing coming out soon, ourselves even. And there's a lot of these other things you can add on that are just never going to be available in
yeah.
that same range, in that same robust quality.
Right.
And because mainly the big reason, and I talk to people on the phone about this, is because the machine just doesn't have the space to hold that. It can only hold something that is so thick and so large.
Right.
Where a commercial machine, I mean, you could make a hoop that is massive because there's so much room to work in.
Yeah.
Because of the design of the machine. The machine is designed for commercial use, therefore it's got all of those things in mind.
That's right. So here's my criteria. If the machine looks too sexy, if it looks like it has too many bells and whistles, it's probably not a commercial machine.
That's a good criteria.
Yeah.
Because the commercial machines, because they're designed to run all day, every day, they go into that, you know, that old adage of, well, if you put all these new features, that's just another thing to break. You know,
right.
people say that all the time about everything in the world, you know. Oh, that's just another thing to break. Well, commercial machines have some of that in mind.
Yeah, because if something breaks on your commercial machine, that means the business is not running and making money. It's not like you can't embroider the pillow for your nephew.
Yeah.
Right? Because your machine is broken, it's, oh my God, I'm not making any money this week because my machine is down. So that's why on the big commercial machines, you're right. They don't have a big touchpad, a 10-inch touchpad on it, because it's a notorious point of failure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they have, it's a limited life.
Yeah.
You know, on something like that. And if you've owned a smartphone or a tablet or anything like that for more than a couple years, you realize that.
Yeah.
You go to answer your phone or do, and you, and it just, it doesn't respond the way it used to. It
yeah.
doesn't, it just doesn't have that. It has a limited life on that. It's
and,
more electronics.
And that's another thing to point out is the, this is not a fast moving technology. So it's not, you know, there's not a lot of electronics built in because they keep it simple on purpose. So you can look at a current Avance 1501C embroidery machine, and you can look at a Tajima or an SWF or a Baradin or a ZSK commercial embroidery machine from 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 20 years ago, and you can recognize them as the same thing, as opposed to a rotary phone from 20 years ago and your iPhone today.
Yeah, and that is so true,
yeah.
but there are improvements that you might not see.
You won't see them.
Yeah,
right.
So, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if you know more
yeah.
about this, but we had some folks here from the manufacturer of the Avance machine, and they were talking about improvements in the algorithms to make fill stitches. And
right.
So it's like, it's this core fundamental thing of how the machine
yeah.
runs in order to create these fill stitches.
Yeah.
That they said that they'd had to work for many years to get it better and right.
Right.
And but you can never see that.
That's a great example.
Yeah.
So now that we've established like commercial versus consumer and things, how do you go about like deciding among brands, you know, and deciding like what's a good price and things like that when you're picking a machine like that?
Well, if you're asking me as a salesperson when I was,
yeah.
I was very confident where I worked, and I gave the same answer. I said, get something that you know that the company you're going to purchase from, you feel comfortable that they're going to take care of you.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the number one, you know, if you are a commercial embroiderer and you know all about repairing your own machine and you know all about digitizing, you know, those folks, that they don't care what they get. They'll scoop up used machines. They will go
yeah.
all over. They'll stick with one brand
yeah.
even if they don't have support, whatever it might be. And that's different than somebody who's just getting into the business, might not know a lot.
Yeah.
And they're going to need that help because you are going to embroider 10 caps in a row and they're all going to look terrible.
Right.
And you're going to want somebody that you can talk to about why that's happening.
Yeah, you know what? That's actually probably one of the most common posts on the Custom Apparel Startups group. is, hey, my cap looks like crap. I can't figure out why. But you're right. You know, what you're looking for first is maybe, you know, you look at the basics of the machines. And we've already talked about 15 needle, what you get with it, a large embroidery field, a great warranty.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing that you're going to look for is, are you comfortable dealing with the company? And what kind of training comes with it?
Yeah.
And how much training is there? Because once again, you know, you're probably listening to this podcast because you're a startup. Mm-hmm. And maybe you don't know everything about embroidery or whatever the technology is. You can apply these things for anything we're going to talk about, right?
Yeah, this is a good transition into the next one.
Yeah, it is.
It goes exactly with everything.
Yeah.
Make sure that, you know, you mentioned warranty is big.
Training.
Training is big.
Free support.
Yeah, support, you know, that's huge. And the ability to grow your business,
yeah,
you know, within that realm is part of it too.
I'm going to throw in a couple of other things. First of all, like there has been a lot of consolidation in buying and selling in the commercial embroidery business.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that the business that you're doing business with is going to be around.
Sure.
You know, so, and I'm going to do commercials for us.
Okay.
In a couple of different spots. Right? So Coldesi has been around, you know, for 15 plus years. Okay? That's a big deal. They're not for sale and they never will be. Right?
That's not in the game. And we were a name previous to this.
Yes.
Right? That was, because this is something that I've seen before, and I think it's important to talk about, is because years ago, it was SWF was the name.
Yeah, SWF East was the name of the company.
Okay, SWF East was the name of the company. And as the company grew, they brought on direct-to-garment printers and CAMS machines and all these other things.
Just like your company might grow.
Yes, and it no longer made sense to have it named as just an embroidery machine
company
when that was a quarter of the business.
Yes.
So, therefore, you know, it came into this new name that has to do with just designing shirts and apparel and everything, all-encompassing. But it is the same company and the same folks and all of that.
Agreed. And so some of the other things would be, and we looked at this when we came out with the Avance, is, you know, the important things aren't just the warranty, it's the ability to grow and trade in your machines. You know, so when you buy a consumer machine, like a Janome or a Brother or something like that, there really is there's no trade-up path. You know, there's no way to grow your business like that. Where with Avance, what we did was we put in a two-year 100% trade-in. So, for example, if your business is going to get bigger and you want a multi-head machine, you know, a four-head or a six-head commercial machine, within 2 years, we'll give you 100% of the price that you paid for the machine back in trade.
And I think that's a good commercial.
Yeah, thanks.
You know, like that.
That's all over. That's, you know.
The reason why I think it is because it makes complete sense to me, you know, when I was selling equipment before, to be able to say, well, I don't know where my business is going to go.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's going to be in a year from now. Maybe I'll have multi-heads. Maybe I'll have a bunch of single heads. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but as your embroidery business grows, also maybe I'll get into I'm thinking about getting into t-shirts too.
Right.
I'm doing embroidery now. I want to start with that one.
Yeah.
You know, but I might do t-shirts or I might do bling next. And so when you kind of go into that commercial, it is good to be able to say, well, I know that I'm going to know these people. They're going to know me. We're going to build a trusted business relationship together. And then when I'm ready to go into the next one, I've already got friends.
Yeah. They do more than just embroidery, and I know what to do. You know what to do. And your customers are going to be the same way. You start with an embroidery business, and then you add bling or you add t-shirt printing. Where are they going to go? They're going to go to you. Okay, I think we beat embroidery into the ground here.
Let's move on to t-shirts.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Custom t-shirt printing.
Okay.
Because that's what a lot of the, pretty much this is what happens at Coldesi, because we talk to a lot of people, is about half or a little bit more than half of the people call us about embroidery machines. That's where they start. And the other part talk to us about printing machines. So Coldesi deals in direct-to-garment printers. But when you're picking a technology, there are tons of ways. Embroidery is pretty, you're kept, you're captive. If you want to do embroidery, you have to use an embroidery machine. For printing t-shirts, if that's what you want to do, there are tons of different ways to do that.
Yeah, and that gets challenging because I'll tell you, you know, for one, if one of the hardest things to do is to talk to somebody who already does it, because they're going to defend the one that they
picked it. Yeah, they've got a vested interest.
So they're going to be they've already chosen a team.
Yeah,
they already like the New York Giants.
Right.
You know, and
they want you to like them
and
too.
And they want you to like them too. And they've learned it and mastered it. So there's a reason behind it. You know, they've come to love it for what it is. But that does not mean it's the best.
Right.
Or
the best for you.
That's actually what I meant to say, is for you.
Yeah.
So let's just really quick bat through the different types of t-shirt making.
Yes.
You know, how you can make t-shirts, the different type of procedures and such, and equipment you can buy, and maybe just a few advantages and disadvantages of them.
Yeah.
And we could, and within those, we should talk about just the straight up ability of what it can do, the cost.
Yeah.
And the versatility.
Yes.
So agreed. I think those are the three things to discuss, you know, in this. So when people talk about t-shirts, usually the first thing that comes up is screen printing because it's one of the oldest.
Yeah, and I mean, it's everywhere.
And it's everywhere.
Absolutely.
There's a screen print shop. If walk outside now and you might trip over a screen print shop.
And when most people think about printing t-shirts that aren't familiar with more current technology, they're thinking about screen printing.
Yes.
So tell me, do you know about how much a screen printing setup can cost?
You can get, well, I mean, it can vary
the
biggest. I think that has the biggest variance on price. You can start off for a few thousand dollars all the way up to $100,000.
Right. So and screen printing or silk screening works kind of like this. So if you get an order, let's say for a one-color design shirt, and let's start off by saying also that most of the decorated t-shirts that you see in retail environments are screen printed, okay, is what you're going to do is you are going to create a screen, right, which is kind of like a transparency that has the image that you want to put on a shirt on it.
Yeah.
Okay? And then you are going to put this, you're going to lay this screen out, and you are going to put a glop of screen printing ink on it.
Yep.
Okay? And a t-shirt underneath. You press the screen on top, and you use a big squeegee to drag the ink across the transparency, and that leaves the ink on the shirt below.
Yeah, the ink will go through the holes that are in that screen.
Yes.
And how do you make the screen? You know, that's you design it and you print a negative and then you run it through, you run it through equipment. You know, there's a series of
steps. It's a process.
It's a process.
It's somewhere between, like, making a t-shirt and developing film.
Yeah, actually, it very much is. So the benefit is that you can get started. As far as price goes, you can get started in all different types of ranges, which is cool.
Right.
The versatility is high because you can print on lots of different types of garments because you can buy lots of different types of ink.
Yep.
So there's a million different directions you can go. So those are two good reasons to start it.
Well, and I'll tell you what the biggest advantage that it has is that once you produce those screens, the ink is cheap. It's very inexpensive to produce. The reason that it's what most retailers use for large runs is because, you know, it's pennies a piece once you get started.
Yeah, once you get started, and it works as fast as your arms can work.
Right.
So if you've got big, strong arms and good stamina, then you can just rock out shirts.
Or enough money to buy an automated press.
Yeah, which that goes on the high end of the scale. So those are some good advantages of it. But with that comes disadvantages, just like anything else. So as you mentioned, it is a bit of a process to get going.
Yes.
So if you say, I got a great idea for a t-shirt, it's not like I'm going to be done in 5 minutes.
Yeah, honestly, it's completely uneconomical to make one or two or less than a dozen of anything.
Yes.
So it's not going to be idea, print, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be idea and then hours worth of process before you get to print and what do you think?
Yes, yes. So it's a step, and then it does take up space because if you keep screens, you have to store them somewhere. If you want to clean the screen and reuse it, there's a bit of a chemical process to
that. It's very messy, and it's not a home office business.
Yes,
it can be a garage business or a barn business, you know, but definitely not something that you're going to have in your house.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that. I mean, there's gallons and jugs of many different colors you have to store, and they're liquid. You've got lots of liquids to store, which means that's more temperature control things you need to handle, because you generally don't want liquids to get too hot or too cold.
Yes.
For the most part, you know.
And it's going to cost you money every time you want to set up a screen, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, most people that are screen printers charge a setup charge of a couple of $100
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
it takes that time and that money and effort to do that.
So, you know, recap on that one. The benefit is you can do it on any shirt. And once you get set up, you can print a lot of shirts really fast, because it's as fast as you can move.
Right.
So that's a benefit. The downside is the space is a lot, the mess is a lot.
Yeah.
If you want to be able to do small runs, it's labor intensive for the small runs that you have to do.
Yes. So if you had that fictitious business plan
mm-hmm.
and you were going to go after universities or large companies, or you were going to go to a retailer and print a huge number of shirts, this is your solution.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to print 200, 400, 500, 1,000 shirts a day, you're going to screen print. I mean, that's really going
to
be it.
And also, you have to know that the market you more than likely are going after, which is a bulk of the screen print market, there are people who will screen print and sell $35 t-shirts. They exist.
Yes.
For sure. And you can do all types of interesting inks and you know, you can
specialty
organic
stuff.
Inks. And there's all types of stuff. That's a very small portion of it. Most of it is t-shirts that you're going to make that are going to be between 1 and 4 colors. They're going to sell for about $5.
Yeah.
They're going to be very, very low margin garments that are designed for mass quantities at a very low margin.
Right.
If that's the business you're going after, is large number of t-shirts at a very low margin, then maybe it's the right one for you.
Yes.
If you got the space for it. But then the next one to move over to might be, what one would you go into next?
Well, I mean, I would go back down to, let's say you were on a budget.
Okay.
And you were only going to make a few shirts at a time, you know, 10 or 12 shirts at a time. And you might look at vinyl.
Yeah. So the way that vinyl works, for if you don't know a lot about it, we'll just give a really short explanation of it. But the way, just like we did for screen printing, the way that the vinyl works is you buy sheets of material. Okay, and they come in all different grades and colors and styles.
Normally
and
a roll.
Rolls or sheets. Yeah, exactly. And you run them through a cutting machine. That you design something and you roll it through a cutting machine, and it cuts out your design.
Yeah, it's got a very crafty kind of feel to it. When you first get into it. Because you're dealing with a cutter, like the one Coleman & Company sells. Part of their cut and press system is the GraphTech.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 15-inch cutter, which is plenty big enough for a shirt. And you're going to do a design, and it's going to cut it out. Keep in mind that the design that it cuts out is only going to be the color of the vinyl.
Correct. It's similar to screen printing, where if you want a 4-color design, you're using 4 different pieces of vinyl, just like you would use 4 different inks in screen printing.
Right.
So it's a similar idea where it's like you're thinking in it one color at a time.
Right.
Okay, and you run this roll of this material through this machine that cuts out the design, and then you take that cutout and you put it on a shirt with a heat press.
Yes.
Okay, so the benefits of it, one is that to get into it
is so inexpensive.
It's very economical. To learn how to do it is almost nothing.
Yeah,
there's very little to learn. I mean, there's with anything you can get harder and harder. But to make your initial shirts and get going, not hard.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you wanted to do, there's, for example, and you can buy this stuff in a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm.
Just like screen printing equipment, there are a lot of people that sell it. But Coleman & Company's got this thing, 55 minutes to your first shirt that comes with the cutter. And really, that's how long it takes you to become proficient. You know, is you could do, like, let's say that your market that you're going after are baseball jerseys.
Yeah.
You know, you could do numbers for the back and a name in the front, and you could be up and running and doing that on your first day.
Yes.
Easily.
Easily. It could, because the learning curve on how to operate it is low, and it's little that, and the 55-minute
yeah.
is including installing the software.
Right. You know? That's right. That's right.
Half of it is just installing your software and waiting for your Windows to do its thing.
Yeah.
So it's not hard to learn, which is great. It's economical, which is great. And
you can put it on a bunch of stuff too. It doesn't have to just, yes. you can put it on caps. I mean, you can make signs with that thing, with the same, yeah. same
the,
water.
The, so as far as just the t-shirt side of yeah. it, it's basically just as versatile as screen printing can be.
Yes.
Yeah, in screen printing, you can mix colors and stuff, so you can get into a little bit of a thing right. there. But besides that, just as far as what you can put it on, you can put it on tote bags. It doesn't matter the material, essentially.
Polyester, yeah. cotton, doesn't
yeah,
matter.
Yeah, polys, cottons, blends, hoodies, you know, jackets, sweaters. You can do it on a ton of different materials. There is... So the versatility is really high. The cost is really low.
Yeah.
And... The learning curve is very low. Right. So a lot of people like starting there because they say, well, I get some of the benefits of screen printing where I could put it on anything.
Yes.
I'm still doing one color at a time, yes. like screen printing, but there is no mess,
right.
and I can start it anywhere. You don't right. even need a whole room.
Yeah.
You know, you bring it out. You need a desk.
Yeah.
So that's what's cool about that.
And now, and there are some disadvantages.
Of course.
And the disadvantages would be, again, you're limited to that kind of one color at a mm-hmm. time. You can do some clever stuff with layering, but you're still dealing with kind of spot colors.
Yes.
The other disadvantage is, if you are going to do... you're never really going to do a huge quantity at a time.
If right.
someone wants 100 shirts, you can do it.
Yeah. I think 100, I say like 100 is my comfortable limit on it.
Okay.
That's the number I would say is a comfortable, because it depends on what it is.
Yeah.
But you could do more than that always with anything. It just depends.
I guess what I'm trying to say is it's a very manual process.
Yes, a manual, that's
the perfect way to put it. You are doing something the entire time. There's nothing automatic. It's you and your kids and your family and your cousins or whatever it is that's going to be picking that out and heat pressing it, making
yes,
sure everything's right.
Absolutely. That's exactly where I was going with that too. So you could do as many as you want, but it's a labor process.
Right.
It's work. Screen printing is also a labor process. It's
right.
work. No shirts are being created unless your body is moving.
Right. And you know, a couple of disadvantages as well would be, like, someone can't bring you a photograph.
Yeah.
You know, or a psychedelic logo, or like a very graphic image.
With gradients and
things like that.
Colors.
You know, you're not going to do that on vinyl.
So then, how can you do that?
That's kind of the next thing.
Yeah.
Is you can do it in a couple of ways.
Mm-hmm.
The first one that comes to mind for me, naturally, because I work for Cold Essie, is direct-to-garment printing,
mm-hmm.
and DTG printing. And what that is, it's, if you haven't seen direct-to-garment, it's basically an inkjet printer that prints directly onto fabric instead of onto a piece of paper.
And it works just like that, essentially. Just imagine how you would print something on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
The same exact thing. It could be a picture, it could be words, it could be text, it could be anything. You put a t-shirt into the machine instead of the piece of paper.
Right.
And then you click print, and then the printer prints it out. And then you take it out, and you heat it. By the way, everything that we're talking about
today...
You
heat press everything.
Everything
you
requires
heat, yeah,
heat
you heat everything.
For garments.
Yeah, it's what helps the whatever material it is bond to the fabric.
Yes, and this way it doesn't wash off or fall off.
Right. So here are the big advantages to direct-to-garment printing is you can print anything onto a cotton shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, it does not matter how complicated the picture is. It could be the Mona Lisa. It could be your kid's picture. It could be any graphic design anyone has ever created. It's going to print out on a good direct-to-garment printer, and it's going to look fantastic.
Yeah, because it's high resolution.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's the equivalent resolution that you would get in a photo printer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really. Now, since it's on a t-shirt, obviously, it, you know,
there's some differences.
Yeah, there's differences. But you get a nice high-resolution image that you can have in millions and millions of colors.
Yes.
Which is very cool.
And the other advantage to it is that that you can print just one,
mm-hmm.
or you can print 50 in a row. So, because unlike screen printing, for example, there's no setup. There's no, you know, you don't have to print a screen first and then print a shirt. Basically, you bring the graphic in to the software that comes with it. You arrange it on a shirt however you want to. You put the t-shirt in the printer. You hit print. And if you want to do 50 of those, you hit print 50. And
yeah.
you know, just load up the t-shirts one right after the other. If you only want one to show someone, you know, then you can do that as well.
Yeah, and that's and it also comes into this like variable data type of printing, which if we're going backwards to the beginning, you know, if we're doing shirts that have names on them and numbers on them,
yes.
for example, or even if it's just like a t-shirt with the left chest logo as the company name and then the employee's name underneath it.
Yeah.
If you were going to screen print that, you would either need a different screen for every name, or you'd have to have some sort of a lettering system, which
right.
you can buy, which is a whole other system for doing, like, you know, C,
name
O,
drops.
L,
yeah.
you know. So there's that. And then for the vinyl, the way you would do that is in your software, you would type it in and cut out each name and number
right.
individually. And then in direct-to-garment printing, while the printer is printing, you're going in the software and you're changing the number before you put the next t-shirt in.
Yes.
Or the name before you put
yeah,
the next
t-shirt
in.
Yeah, or, for example, like with the DTG brand that Coldesi sells, you can do up to 4 t-shirts at once. So you could set up, okay, here's Bob, here's Mary, here's Steve, here's John, and you could print those 4 shirts. And then while those are printing, you could do the type in the next names and print the next 4
yeah.
shirts.
Yeah, so it's very cool. The technology is cool, and it's fun. So another benefit is you are not doing the work. You're
right.
doing some of the work. You're
right.
always doing some of the work in apparel, which is something I always
yeah.
tell folks. Everyone wants everything to be automated 100% along
yeah.
the way.
And
they're
it's
like,
not.
Can I
and
just like
not.
Click things and it makes a shirt?
Yeah.
Can I just take a picture and put it in my embroidery machine?
Right.
That just doesn't exist.
I had that question yesterday.
Every day.
The answer is no.
When you're a salesperson, you hear that every day.
Yeah.
So can I just take a picture and put it in the machine?
No,
that's not, it's
right.
not a magic machine.
right.
So saying that, with the direct-to-garment printing, you can easily, so you, well, I guess I'm going in a lot of different directions here,
yeah.
so I'll try to cut it down
sure.
a little bit, but when you're in direct-to-garment printing, you can easily change what you're doing consistently.
Yeah.
You can easily create the small runs.
Yep.
You can easily have the variable data, and you can easily do one, all while all of this is happening while the machine is doing the work for you.
Yes.
So you are adjusting things, making things happen, clicking print, and
yeah.
then you're waiting a couple minutes for the shirt
while,
to print.
While it prints. And you could be making phone calls while that prints.
Yeah.
You're not like with vinyl sitting there and weeding.
Yeah.
You know, for example.
Yeah, so with screen printing, you're squeegeeing. With vinyl, you're weeding. With direct-to-garment printing, you're clicking print.
Right.
So that's a cool advantage.
Yeah.
Is that while it's printing, you're doing something else.
And we haven't talked about the hand of the shirt and the way it feels,
mm-hmm.
but direct-to-garment, particularly if you're printing on white t-shirts, feels like it's not even there.
Yes.
You know, and screen printing often has that advantage, too. If you've got a good screen print, it can also feel like it's not even there.
Well, because on screen printing, you've got a massive length or width variability of the type of ink you can
yes,
use.
Right.
So there's a water-based inks and there's, you know,
plastic-based yeah.
inks. So, and they all have different levels of feels, and they are all come in different colors, and they are all easier or harder to work with.
Right.
So there's screen printing, just, it can be any of those.
Yes.
It can feel great or it cannot. And it all depends on what material you're working with. There's a lot
yeah.
of, there's a lot to learn there.
So let's talk about the disadvantages of DTG or why you might not choose it.
Well, I think, for me, the biggest one is the reason why you chose screen printing is because you're looking to do really long run of the same exact shirt.
Yes.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds at a time.
Yes.
And you're trying to be able to produce these things at a cost so low because you operate at a really low margin.
Yeah.
that's probably, that's the number one there. I think is that with direct to garment printing, it's not as fast.
Yes.
To do one is faster. Right. Maybe to do, I don't know what number.
Up to 50. I think it's up to 50 is faster.
Is faster. So once you get this 25 to 50 mark, you're going to beat it because you're already, 15 shirts in before you're in your screen printing process. You're still creating everything you need
right.
to get going.
Right.
Okay.
There's no print while you wait in screen printing.
Yeah. So I think that's definitely,
the large runs is not great for
Yeah, and then the other one is
polyester. I think that's the biggest one.
Yeah.
It doesn't do a great job printing on polyester.
Yeah.
So
no matter
what, it can print on darks.
Yeah, no matter what printer is out there or what anyone has ever said anywhere,
yeah.
to get consistent results on polyester, why? Okay, let's just a really simple reason why.
Yeah.
Because all of the inks are made from water. Okay?
Right.
Water's a big ingredient in there. And polyester is plastic.
Yes.
Okay, so I don't have to teach you on what water and plastic do to each other.
Nothing.
Okay?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So it's, how is the garment made? How can it be absorbed?
Yeah.
This one works well. Well, what type of dyeing did they use to get here? Where cotton, you know what cotton and water do.
Right.
They just suck. They suck together and they become one. And that just doesn't happen with plastic. You take a piece of a cotton ball and you put it in water and it soaks it up. And you take a piece of plastic and put it in and it doesn't.
Yeah.
So that's kind of just a really super simple way of putting it.
Agreed. So one reason you might not pick a direct-to-garment printer is because your business is going to be based only on performance wear.
Yes.
Which is all polyester or some kind of advanced material.
You're only going to do like mesh basketball jerseys.
Right.
And in that case, you need to go vinyl or screen printing
right.
because you need something that's going to stick to any material, even if it's a really wide mesh.
Right.
Where you can see through the holes.
And I'll also say that on the maintenance scale, direct to garment falls somewhere between vinyl and screen printing.
Yeah.
Screen printing is a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
For maintenance, right? You got to clean and maintenance and hoses and all that stuff. Vinyl, there's nothing. I mean, literally, a cutter will work. You change the blade.
Yeah.
Occasionally, you use an air gun if you're in a dusty environment, maybe. With direct-to-garment printing, you got to do a little bit every day.
Yes.
If you're going to use the printer, you've got to do like 10, 15 minutes of maintenance routine every day.
If you have painted a house or laid tile, those are probably the two I would think of. That's going to be similar to your screen printing.
Yeah.
Where you have a lot of things you have to do before, and then, I finished painting this room. It looks awesome.
I've got another hour of cleanup.
These tiles look awesome.
Yeah.
Now I got it. Well, I better clean my drill, and
yeah,
I better clean
all that
my,
stuff.
So that's kind of how that is. And there is basically zero cleanup and maintenance on vinyl. There is none. There's just none.
And in DTG, there's a little bit.
And in DTG, there's a little bit, exactly.
Right.
So that's kind of your range on there.
Now, let me do another advantage to DTG before
sure.
I forget, is you can run a DTG printer inside your house.
Yes.
No problem. Unlike screen printing and just like vinyl.
Yeah.
You need a little bit more space, naturally, but you can still run it.
Yeah, you can run in your house, and it's just the space required is basically as big as the machine. You need work in all apparel. You need some workspace.
Yeah,
you need a bench or a table, or a workstation.
Right.
But really, just the machine and a heat press and a workstation. So it's not that much more space than you need for vinyl.
Yeah.
It's a little more because the machines are bigger.
We actually did a webinar on fitting a DTG setup in a 10x10 room.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So let's move on from DTG.
Okay.
I think the next one that we need to touch on is T-shirt transfer printing.
Sure.
Okay, so there's some color laser printer technology out there that will allow you to print a full color image on a transfer.
On a piece of paper,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, a special $10 piece of paper.
Yeah, yeah.
onto a piece of paper, and then you can heat press it onto a shirt.
And it leaves from the paper to the T-shirt, and it sticks to it.
Yes.
And that's how it works.
And it'll do that through heat, again, with a heat press.
Mm-hmm.
And it I'd say its advantages are, and we didn't talk about DTG price range, but they're like $15,000 and up, $15,000 to $25,000, $30,000.
Sure.
And the vinyl systems are going to be anywhere from $2,000, you know, maybe even less, to a little bit more.
Yeah, around a few thousand dollars is the range, and they can go higher, but you're just talking about bigger and bigger and machines that you don't really need for making T-shirts.
Right.
The range is small.
And for screen printing, you're talking about in the hundreds of dollars all the way up into the tens of thousands of dollars, depending on what you want to do. For T-shirt transfers, generally, there are a couple of ways to do it. You can make it with the screen printing setup, but you can also make it with a special laser printer, and that setup is around $10,000.
Yeah.
So you're splitting the difference. And it's got some advantages and disadvantages, too.
Yeah, you could do full color
like
you can with direct to garment, which is cool.
Yep. It does. You don't have to weed it like you do with vinyl systems.
Yep.
It is. It's probably almost as fast to do printing wise as screen printing.
Mm-hmm.
You can print a lot. Actually, I take that back because there's an extra step in there, so it probably takes 3 or 4 minutes, about the same as DTG.
Okay.
And the biggest disadvantage to that is the hand, is the feel of the garment itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels plasticky.
Yeah, because you are similar to the vinyl, because both of the vinyl and the transfer are going to have a specific feel to them, because you're literally taking a solid material and applying it to your garment.
Right.
So you've got a solid going to a solid together that are almost glued on in a weird way.
Yeah, you know? It's not like you're applying ink to a shirt.
That's not being
like you would apply ink to a page of paper.
Yeah.
Right?
Because ink gets absorbed into our garment.
Yeah.
So
you're putting a sticker on the shirt.
Yeah, you're putting a sticker on the shirt. So that would be similar in screen printing to like the plastic-based ink.
Yes.
A thick plastic-based ink is going to have that feel of vinyl, which is plastic-based.
Yeah.
And not too far off on the transfer. Sometimes it can have like a split difference of a feel.
You know,
it's in there, but it's not the pure soft hand. That DTG is a really, really soft hand.
Right.
So that's like that's your softest hand compared to like water-based screen printing is your really soft hand. The transfers are cool. You know, it's a little bit of a split the difference way to go in price, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and they're... You know, the biggest drawback for me, of course, is always the way it feels. Because I'm a DTG guy, and that's what I spend my days around.
Yep.
And I would wear a direct-to-garment printed shirt anytime.
Yeah.
You know, feels great, looks great, full color, things like that. And I'd say with the T-shirt transfer, it depends on the transfer.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it does. But it's another cool way to do it. There's tons of cool ways to do this stuff. You know, and then similar to are there any other real advantages or disadvantages you would want to bring into it?
I can't think of any. It's not that common, so there's not a lot of points of comparison.
Yeah, and the washability is a thing with them. You have a degradation across of all these things, how they wash.
Right, that's a good point.
So screen printing, generally, if you do it right, you can easily do it very wrong and very right.
Right.
And you can have a massive level of washability.
Yeah.
You can have stuff that can last
as long as the shirt.
As long as the shirt, and you can have stuff that starts to crack in a couple days.
Yeah.
Vinyl is going to depend on the quality of vinyl you buy.
Yeah.
You can have stuff that washes and wears awesome, and you can have stuff that feels just gross.
And most people buy cheap vinyl.
And most people buy cheap vinyl, and that's why you hear bad things about vinyl all the time, and that's why I said we're not going to carry cheap vinyl.
Right.
And then the transfer stuff is going to have that degradation. Every time you wash it, that material is going to break up a little bit.
Right.
It's not going to be as good as it was the time before.
Right.
Now, you might get 40 washes. You can get a good amount. Yeah, you can get a good amount of it. But there's going to be a certain life.
Right.
DTG has a really strong washability because you're combining the fabric and this ink together.
That's correct.
So you get really, really good washability in the DTG. And then the next one to mention is sublimation.
Right, which I don't know a lot about. I'll be upfront. I don't know a lot about sublimation. only that it requires a couple of things. If you're going to put it on a surface other than t-shirts,
mm-hmm.
it has to be a pre-treated surface.
It has to be a special type of surface. So, but if we're just talking t-shirts, the way that that works is going to be similar to your transfer.
Okay.
You print on something. Okay? So you print... we're just going to keep it very basic for this.
Yeah.
But you print on a piece of paper, basically.
Right.
And then you put that onto a shirt, and you put it under heat. And it sublimates, meaning that it goes from a solid to a gas.
Right.
That gas goes onto the shirt, and then what binds to the shirt. And then when you lift it up, the paper is blank.
Yeah.
And the ink is now in the shirt, similar to how DTG would feel.
That's like magic.
Yes,
that's what it really sounds like magic.
So it has like no hand. You don't
yeah.
feel it. It disappears
right.
just like DTG ink disappears on a white shirt. You don't feel it at all. You would
right.
not know if your eyes were closed like you would with a CMYK print on DTG. It's impossible to tell it's there.
Yeah.
Downside is it's only a polyester.
Right. You cannot sublimate anything onto a cotton shirt.
Correct. It's the chemical process.
Right.
You know, it doesn't work. So, and there's, you know, we can go into other disadvantages and advantages on all of these things, apparently.
Right.
But that process is going to be similar to your, similar to your transfers, and even your vinyl can live within this same world where you can, the learning curve on the three of those things, on transfers, on sublimation, on vinyl, aren't that high.
Right.
You know, but the sublimation is going to have a cost that can be similar to getting a t-shirt transfer printing machine.
Okay.
You know, so you can spend a good amount of money, and then you're also, you know, you're refilling ink and you're buying new paper, and you have to make sure that the type of garment you're buying is going to work
right.
with it.
And sublimation inks are not water-based inks.
Correct.
Right. So,
as I understand,
there's some chemical
properties
that causes it to sublimate. So you've got to think about that. You've got to think about ventilation when you're doing the sublimation process. You've got to think about ink disposal and things like that.
Yeah, there's all of that involved. So whatever type of t-shirt business you're going to start, there's a ton of different ways, and I think you know, you have to pick what's going to be good for you with your budget. Think
right.
about the money. You have to think about, where am I going to do it?
Yep.
How long is it going to take me to learn? What materials am I going to work with? Well, who am I going to sell to?
Yeah, what
the
market
think
is.
About, yeah, those are all things to think about. And all of them have their advantages and disadvantages, so don't let anybody tell you that one is the best, because
they will.
Yeah, they will,
and
it's the best for who?
Right.
The best for what?
So, and you're back to all the things that we talked about, embroidery. You know, you want a company that's going to train you. You know, you've got to be comfortable with them. You want somebody that's going to support you. You want somebody that you can talk to about more than one thing,
yeah.
in my opinion, because we do that.
Good. Well, we're in a long podcast here.
Which is weird because
yeah.
because we've just been rambling about different mm-hmm. kinds of equipment and technology.
And so should we go into bling?
No.
Okay.
I think we should stop at embroidery and t-shirt printing, and then we will do a separate podcast talking about choosing different ways to bling.
Yeah,
to
because
bling
that can get into a lot too.
Yeah.
And I also would like to talk about rhinestones and what that means.
And vinyl glitter.
Yeah, and the different grades
yep.
that you get into and all those things as well. So
okay.
it can be a deep conversation. But what I hope that folks get out from this is that when you want to start a t-shirt or an embroidery business, you want to think about who do you want to sell to?
Yep.
You know, what type of, what space do you have to work with? What's your budget?
Mm-hmm.
What's your
proclivity?
Okay.
You know, for example, even if you have a lot of space and a decent budget, you may not like the mess for screen printing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you want to think about just, what is my life going to be like doing this?
Yeah.
Who is going to help me do it? What am I going to do if I decide to hire people? What am I going to do if my business expands?
Yeah.
So the plug that I always give for the vinyl is that if you start there, You can, you know, if you if your budget is smaller, and you say, well, I don't have $20,000. Right. I don't have the credit to finance $20,000.
Right.
But I can muster up $3,000. You know, I can muster up $2,000. And I think that I can do that to get my business started. Then you've got a piece of equipment that will stay with you.
Yeah, everyone in custom apparel should have a cutter anyway.
Yes, and most of them eventually get one if they don't have one, if they don't start that way. So it's something that sticks with you, which is cool. And that's I find that to be similar of a commercial embroidery machine. If you get a good single head commercial embroidery machine, no matter how big your business gets, that thing, there's no reason to get rid of that.
Yeah.
Ever. There's no reason to get rid of your cutter.
They'll last forever.
Yeah, there's no reason to get rid of your vinyl. And then I even still feel that way about DTG. It's a bigger investment. But what I mean by it is that I have friends and associates that are in the t-shirt printing business, and they started with DTG.
Yep.
Because they wanted to be able to do the full color prints and all of that. But they started to dive into the market where they're like, I just got a big client where I need to make 2,000 shirts.
Yeah.
So I invested the growth in my business in screen printing then.
Right.
So when I have these 2,000 shirt orders, so they've got the direct-to-garment printing, and they grew into that.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of that's cool compared to, we've talked about, like, the big home machines for embroidery.
Yeah.
That's not one where you're going to grow your business and then also use that home machine for the business.
No, you're going to break the home machine.
Yeah.
Or that single needle just isn't going to do anything that you need done for commercial work.
Yeah, so the expandability of the long-term growth for your business doesn't stick.
Yep.
So just think about that as well. And I think pick up the phone and talk to people that sell this stuff and then make sure you're comfortable with them.
And that goes back
to the beginning.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say is especially, you know, when you're talking to the public at large and you ask them or, you know, you're talking to people in the business, they've already chosen a technology. So they will do everything that they can to tell you what's great about it.
Yeah.
You know, and what's bad about other technologies.
Well, cognitive dissonance would be the word I would use.
Would
for
you
it.
Really?
So,
I would use that word.
Yeah, I would use that word because people have made a decision, and naturally, when you make a decision, you want to defend it to yourself that it was the right decision to make.
Yep.
Okay, so that is why people generally buy something, and they will defend what they own.
Yeah, and they want you to buy it too.
And they want you to buy it too because they made a good decision.
Yeah.
Now, they might have made a good decision. That doesn't mean that they didn't.
Yeah.
However, don't let that necessarily drive your decision.
Agreed. All right, I think we've confused folks enough for today. I think that maybe we've helped them. I hope we've helped you figure out kind of what technologies to look at, the process that might be involved in choosing the right one, and whatever will help you make the best business for you.
Yes, because that's the goal of this podcast. You know, you finish it with your famous tagline that we'll say in a minute.
Yeah.
But that's really what this whole thing is that you find the right thing that's for you, think about it, talk to people who you're going to buy it from, make sure that you want to buy it from them, make sure that you are not only looking at the price tag when it comes to making your decision, as well. We didn't even talk about that at all, but in making the decision, you can buy everything that you can buy in this industry that we've discussed. You can buy a one that is 40% cheaper than the mid-level price.
Right.
You know, you can buy, there is a generic and really cheap on every single thing we've talked about, and there are going to be disadvantages to that.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, if you're saying, well, I've seen these two and there's a price difference, find out why.
Right.
Yeah, do that.
Agreed.
You know, because it's the same thing with buying an automobile. You know, you're going to get what you pay for sometimes. So, so be sure of what you get. Feel comfortable with who you're buying from. And then also think all of it is an investment for your business.
Right.
It's all a real. And do I want to invest this money in my business so I can grow and be successful and have all meet all the dreams and goals that are the reason why I'm starting it.
I like everything that you just said.
Okay.
All right. Great. So let's say this. This has been episode 32 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson from Coldesi.
And I am Mark Vila from Coleman & Company. Thanks for listening.
Have a good business.